broadcasting worldwide on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network, live from the heart of the nation's capital. This is Morning Glory.
We thank God for the precious gift of life on this Friday, the 14th of July, in the 14th week of Ordinary Time. Giving glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to people of goodwill. We praise you, we bless you, we adore you, we glorify you, we give you thanks for your great glory, Lord God, Heavenly King, O God, Almighty Father. Lord Jesus Christ, only begotten Son, Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, you take away the sins of the world. Have mercy on us. You take away the sins of the world. Receive our prayer. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Have mercy on us. For you alone are the Holy One. You alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in the glory of God the Father. Amen.
Amen.
Beginning a Friday together on Morning Glory. Good morning. I'm Brian Patrick with Gloria Purvis.
Good morning.
Elisa Murphy, our DC producer, and our godly counsel, Dominican Father Aquinas Gilbo, leading us in prayer. Father?
Let us pray. O God, who desired the Virgin St. Kateri Tekakwitha to flower among Native Americans in a life of innocence, grant through her intercession that when all are gathered into your church from every nation, tribe, and tongue, they may magnify you in a single canticle of praise. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen. And Gloria shares a thought from Mother Angelica.
You must show a total dedication to holiness. Your work is secondary. Everybody has a job. You can't be idle. You've got to change the world.
Some inspiration from our foundress, Mother Angelica. It's 2 minutes after. In the news this morning, 56 doctors are among the more than 400 fraud suspects rounded up by the Justice Department. Attorney General Jeff Sessions says they're responsible for more than $1 billion in false medical billings.
120 have been charged with opioid-related crimes, making this also the largest opioid-related fraud takedown in American history.
Sessions says 205 healthcare providers are being suspended or banned from participating in federal healthcare programs. Senate Republicans released their revised healthcare bill with several pro-life measures. Planned Parenthood Medicaid funding is stripped for a year, and it also bans tax credits from going to abortion plans. House Speaker Paul Ryan rejects critics who say time is running out for a budget deal. He says a new presidency complicates the budget process.
This is the first year of a new presidency with a delayed budget process. But with a delayed budget process, I'm very impressed that the appropriators are all but done with their work.
Members of the pro-life group called Created Equal prayed outside Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell's office on Thursday. China's most prominent political prisoner, Nobel Peace Prize winner Liu Xiaobo, has died. He was 61, had liver cancer, and was serving an 11-year prison term on subversion charges. House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi says a prominent moral voice has been silenced.
We had hoped that the Chinese, they mistreated him in prison, contributed to his illness. We would hope that they would have allowed him to leave the country to receive a medical care. They did not. It's a sad day.
Liu was jailed initially in connection with the 1989 Tiananmen Square pro-democracy protests. He won the Nobel Prize in 2010 while serving his fourth and final prison sentence. That was in connection with advocating greater human rights and political reform in China. In Paris, President Trump, who has said the city is not a safe place to visit because of terrorism, now says he believes French President Emmanuel Macron will be tough on terrorists.
You have a great leader now. You have a great president. You have a tough president. He's not going to be easy on people that are breaking the laws.
President Trump and First Lady joined Macron for Bastille Day celebrations in Paris. American and French troops marched together as a symbol of unity. Pope Francis endorses a campaign to mobilize 1 million people to directly engage in turning his protection of God's creation message into action. The Laudato Si Pledge campaign is organized by the Global Catholic Climate Movement. It calls for prayer with and for creation and advocates to protect our common home. It is supported by Cardinals Turkson, Tagle, and Supich, among others. Nearly a year after his kidnapping, Yemen officials confirm Father Tom Azunalil is alive. Yemen's deputy prime minister says continued efforts are being made to obtain the release of the Salesian priest. He was kidnapped in Yemen in March of last year during an attack on a Missionaries of Charity house that left four sisters dead. That is indeed good news, Gloria.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so happy. I remember when the story first broke, when those sisters were killed and the priest was missing. And to know now that he's alive, I know all those prayers we've been saying for him were heard. And I just can't wait for him to get back home. And hopefully his health is not too poor from being, you know, in basically kidnapped all this time.
We pray for his swift release. Israeli police say three Palestinians opened fire near a Jerusalem holy site, seriously wounding two Israelis before the attackers were shot and killed. Chief Inspector Mickey Rosenfield says the assailants were heavily armed.
What we know is they were armed with an automatic weapon, with a Carl Gusta weapon, as well as knives. And they also attempted to stab a number of people here at the scene.
The attack happened at the Jewish Temple Mount, known to Muslims as Noble Sanctuary. The six members of Afghanistan's all-girls robotics team are on their way to Washington for an international robotics competition. They had originally been denied entry visas under the administration's travel ban. The White House intervened after applications were denied twice at the U.S. Embassy in Kabul. Team member Robado Nuri is relieved.
We are so happy that after two times that we came to Kabul to get the visa, according to this, we could be successful to get the visa for the second, for the third time.
Her first name is Rudaba. She's with the robotics team, but she's not Roboto. A Freudian slip there. Yeah. 157 countries have entered teams in next week's competition. That includes a team of Syrian refugees. How interesting.
Yeah.
The U.S. envoy to the Coalition Against ISIS talks with coalition members about priorities in defeating the terror group. Thursday's meeting comes after Mosul is officially declared liberated. Envoy Brett McKirk details progress made by the coalition.
We have freed over 4 million people who had been living under ISIS in 2014. And most importantly, we've helped set the conditions for people to return to their homes.
Mosul had been under ISIS control for nearly 3 years. The parents of 10-month-old Charlie Guards storm out of a British courtroom Thursday. They have been fighting to get treatment in the U.S. for their son, but they have been blocked by the British courts. The judge there says he won't continue hearing the case unless the American doctor comes to London to talk with healthcare experts. Ohio Representative Brad Wenstrup is co-author of a House bill supporting the child's cause. He says his legislation is inspired by a personal experience.
23 years ago, my sister at 26 years old, I was 36, she developed leukemia. And the doctors told her that without treatment, she was going to die. And even with treatment, she might. But her best chance is with a bone marrow transplant. When it came time to do a bone marrow transplant, her insurance company said it was experimental and we're not going to allow that. Her doctors didn't advise that. They suggested she do it and go to Seattle to do it, which we did. It's now 23 years later. She is a wife, a mother of two. So to hear that this is experimental and shouldn't be tried really bothered me.
I know Brad personally, and God bless him for those efforts. Claire Chrétien of LifeSite News will join us at the bottom of the hour with more on Thursday's courtroom proceedings in Great Britain. Texas lawmakers return home for a short break. Governor Greg Abbott called them into special session. He wants them to come up with, among other things, a measure restricting which public restrooms transgender people may use. Abbott says we need a law, quote, that protects the privacy of our children in our public schools. Republican House Speaker Joe Strauss says he fears a North Carolina-style backlash if such a bill passes.
Well, the thing that I'd say is I'm hoping that what they do doesn't further press into the mind of the public there that there are more than two genders. I see a lot of that with the these all-gender restrooms and things like that, and I'm like, that's not the way to go. I'm hoping that's not what they do.
All right, and Melinda Gates says she hopes the Catholic Church will reverse its moral opposition to contraception, adding that it will take time. She is in London co-hosting a conference for World Population Day. It's expected to raise $2.5 billion to push contraception around the globe. Of course, Pope Paul VI's father reaffirmed the Church's opposition to artificial contraception with the 1968 encyclical Humanae Vitae.
That's right, and this is a little silly. I mean, thinking that it's just up to the Pope, you know, to decide what this teaching is going to be, as if, you know, it's within the purview of any pope to declare that, you know, the purposeful manipulation of the sexual act, you know, to avoid the conception is something good, as if, you know, no pope can declare that act to be good. And that's what is misunderstood here.
Well, the thing that's been shocking to me is how she's gone around saying, you know, I am the woman I am today because of my access to contraception. And I kept thinking, you don't think it's also because you're married and you married Bill Gates? You're really going to say it's contraception? I was like, it's really nuts. And then I thought the hubris of this woman to say that these other countries, these other women need to, as a human right, not only, I mean, they say access to contraception, but what they really mean is use contraception and not have more children is just galling to me.
Yeah. And more on that issue, as well as World Population Day, and also that story on Laudato Si in just a moment. First in sports, just ahead of Elisa's forecast for Friday, the defending World Series champion Chicago Cubs have found the pitching help they were looking for. Just a few miles from Wrigley Field, the Cubs acquired left-handed ace Jose Quintana from the White Sox in a major trade between crosstown rivals. The Milwaukee Brewers are no longer a secret in the National League, not with a 5.5-game lead in the Central Division. Manager Craig Counsell's young team has played well in spite of injuries to outfielders as well as some of the other starters. The Brewers return from the break to host the Philadelphia Phillies today. The All-Star break now officially over. Yeah. 11 after the hour, here's Elisa with your Friday forecast.
Morning glory weather.
Heat along the West Coast and showers across the Midwest as we head into the weekend. A rainy day in Columbus, reaching 84 for those tuned to St. Gabriel Radio this morning. And for those in Melbourne, Florida, listening on Divine Mercy Catholic Radio, expect perfect sun with 89 degrees and more sun and heat in Boise, Idaho. Triple digits today for those listening on Salt and Light Radio.
And Gloria, I know some comments by French President Emmanuel Macron on procreating. Gets your goat.
Well, I mean, it was just the nerve of the French president to basically say Africa's problems are civilizational. And then in the same breath, you know, say talk about these women are having 7 or 8 kids, as if that is the problem with Africa. And if we would just have fewer Africans, you know, maybe Africa could. I mean, this is the implication. If you have fewer Africans, then, you know, all their problems would disappear. And I'm thinking all their people would disappear. And this notion that population explosion and there are too many people and we need to reduce the number of people, for whatever reason, whether it's to reduce poverty or in some cases now it's best for the environment to have less people. It just worries me. And it also worries me that people will misunderstand Laudato Si. And so I'm hoping Father can maybe help people understand our proper understanding of care for the environment and also human life.
It's interesting. I think we always have to remind ourselves that whenever the church handles, you know, this topic of, say, population control or the regulation of births, that the church always approaches the problem from the aspect of responsible parenthood. I mean, that's the purpose for the document, Humanae Vitae, that because parents are to be responsible with this gift of procreation, with this ability to create life, that, that there was some responsibility exercised there. The church's problem, though, is that, the sexual act itself need not be corrupted, and should not be corrupted in order to achieve that goal, you know. And so that's, you know, where the teaching on contraception comes from. So it seems, though, that people like Macron and others, that it's either you have 7 or 8 children or no children.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
There's a real lack of creativity or even imagination that cooperating with nature, you know, being responsible in the gift of life, that one can achieve a family size that's appropriate for one's given, you know, circumstances, one's abilities, and being completely generous, you know, in the reception of life. But no, we play to the extremes in order to create fear, in order to kind of ramrod through certain policies. And no, it's just no one is served by that, least of all the poor.
Well, and I also find it just nuts that it's all about the woman. You know,
right.
Women, you have the total responsibility for eradicating all these problems. If you would just have fewer children, there's no discussion about fathers. There's no discussion about families. And I think it sets the whole argument in the wrong place. It removes that there's any discussion among families. It removes the husbands, the fathers of these children from the calculus altogether. And
I think that's another part of the church's teaching, that it's centered on chastity, a couple's growing in chastity together. That's another missing part here.
Well, stay tuned. We're going to continue this conversation with a pro-life powerhouse and one woman wrecking crew and Morning Glory friend, Obiana Ekocha of Culture of Life Africa, next on Morning Glory.
Catholic from the start, because every new morning is a gift. This is Morning Glory.
Bishop Robert Barron talks about the importance of the National Catholic Register.
You know, the Register delivers something which is extremely important because you won't get it from the mainstream media, namely the Catholic context and perspective. The National Catholic Register brings a robustly Catholic take on the world, and that's indispensably important.
For a free 6-issue trial of the National Catholic Register, go to ncregister.com and click on the 6 free issue banner.
It's the main event for us. We really enjoyed our family.
I needed a place to pray,
which is not easy to find in our house.
Yes, our hands are full, but our hearts are even fuller.
They are families that have realized the importance of the Lord as the center of their family.
Lady of the Way.
Pray for us, guide us, amen.
Praying as a Family, Saturday, 6 p.m. Eastern on EWTN-TV.
Get an insider's look at the latest information from EWTN. Sign up for WINGS, EWTN's weekly email newsletter. Get the latest information about live events, special features, and guests. Connect with EWTN on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. Just go to EWTN.com and click on the WINGS link to sign up. Don't miss a minute of all that's happening at EWTN. Get your WINGS today.
This is Matthew Bunsen, co-host of Register Radio.
This is Lauren Ashburn, EWTN News Nightly anchor and managing editor.
This is Archbishop Robert Carlson, the Archbishop of St. Louis. Thanks for listening to EWTN Radio.
At Morning Glory, we never sleep. Connect with us on Facebook.
And we're back at 16 minutes past the hour on this Friday morning. It's the end of the week. Yay. I'm Gloria Purvis, and my co-host is Brian Patrick. Our producer is Elisa Murphy. And our godly counsel is the deep-fried Dominican, Father Aquinas Gilbo. We have a good friend of Morning Glory, Obiana Ju Ekocha. She's the founder and president of Culture of Life Africa. Hey, Uju.
Hey, Gloria.
I'm so excited. I feel like I'm going to bust. I'm so happy to talk to you. You know, I was thinking about when I saw the recent words by French President Emmanuel Macron about children and women having 7 or 8 kids and, you know, this civilizational problem with Africa. I thought of you because I'm like, wait a minute, wasn't Uju baby number 7 or 8?
I know. Saying I should not exist. Mm-hmm. And this is the problem, Gloria. Every time these people, you know, these new brand of leaders, you know, mostly leftist leaders who come from Europe and parts of North America and the developed world, when they say things like this, it's a direct insult to so many of us who they're saying we should not exist. I am the 7th baby of my parents. And also, it doesn't mean my parents were stupid or uneducated. Both my parents had great careers right to the very end of their careers until they retired. My mother had a fantastic, fantastic teaching career. And so many of my friends who are baby number 6 or 7, the same. There are women in Africa who have, you know, 8 children, 5 children, 6 children, who are pharmacists and judges and doctors like anybody else. But these people keep insulting us and keep demeaning us just so that they get what they want, which is really population control.
And what has been the response? I mean, have people had, besides yourself, and you're masterful, by the way, when you're on the BBC, besides yourself, have there been, you know, any outcry against Macron's words or even the notion that Africa needs fewer Africans to be, you know, more civilized? You know, is anything like that besides, I've been hearing your voice, but I'm wondering if any other African leaders come out?
Yeah, so in Africa, we do have a few problems, one of which is, of course, these things are quite offensive. I know for a fact, because after I went on BBC, I got so many messages directly from Africa, different African countries, on my Facebook page, from people who had watched it live. You know, they were sitting in a sitting room in Nigeria, and then up came this Nigerian. So we have a few problems. The problem being that many people are upset by these things, but they don't have the platform to speak out. So I'm just really very fortunate that there is platform, you know, there is a platform and different outlets to be able to speak out. But on Twitter as well, I've picked up, you know, different African journalists and people just saying and lamenting what Macron had said. But unfortunately, our leaders, which is also another problem we're experiencing, it's not that they are not alarmed or offended by this, but our leaders get so much money from people like Macron, because Macron is a French president. That means also that he is, in a way, the leader of at least, you know, 10 African countries or the Francophone countries, relying and depending 100% almost on France for aid. So so that is the problem. Those leaders cannot speak out if they are depending on France to sponsor them on different things.
And since they are, with Macron and all the people that are trying to give aid, the care, their focus is on population and are trying to make contraception, artificial contraception, quote, a human right and push it in Africa, what has been the impact of contraceptives and abortion on Africa?
I mean, it's been manifold. So to start with, something like contraception, we have had so many women who have been convinced by different Western organizations to take up contraception, what they call, quote unquote, modern family planning or modern contraception. That means things like IUD, the pills, the Implanon. And then they start off having these reactions and these side effects that they never even heard of before. I'm actually making a documentary at the moment that I'm working on, and anybody can see on my Twitter that I've talked about this documentary several times now. But part of this documentary, a good chunk of the documentary, is actually about women who got contraceptives provided by a British organization, and now these women's lives have been totally destroyed. Because think about this, rural women in a rural area, and then they have an implant on or an implant or an IUD, and they start to react and it starts to migrate, or they start having discharge or different things happen, but they don't have a hospital to go to, right? If this happens to you while you're sitting in DC, you go to your doctor and your doctor may remove the contraceptive device that is causing you problems, but they can't, they don't have that option. And I think these are things that even go into or border on you know, human rights abuse, if you like. So I'm looking into it, and many of us are just watching to see how this goes. I think Africa is on the receiving end of a lot of bad things now.
Well, Uju, Father Aquinas here. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Father.
It's good to talk to you. What's the reaction that you get when you confront leaders with these facts, when you tell these very personal and tragic stories of individual women who are suffering at the hands of these programs? I mean, what's the Western and European reaction to your testimony?
Right. So when I speak to African leaders, because I get to work with a lot of members of parliament, sometimes when I go to the UN, I get to do some work with ambassadors or even deputy ambassadors, and then they're upset by it, you know. But behind closed doors, they are very, you can see that they're upset, they're unhappy, and they keep trying to skirt around it again because they have this issue of, this is where our funding comes from. You know, my flight ticket from Kenya to America for the meetings was paid for by UNFPA or was paid for by Maristos or whoever. So they cannot go directly against this organization. So they give their support, but in a way they are unable to go directly against. But another set of leaders who are usually exceptionally good are the religious leaders. So when I speak to bishops, for example, the bishops are always very ready to do something. And I usually advise them, please go to the press. So right now we're seeing a whole onslaught with the whole Melinda Gates thing that happened this week, with this week being the World Population Day being this week. So I'm just hoping that we can rally Africans around to do something at this time, to have some kind of united voice, just to say that this is terrible. I will be on BBC this weekend again on Sunday, and addressing directly, particularly Melinda Gates' comments about the Pope changing doctrine or changing the teaching about contraception. So I will be debating some women, and I'm looking forward to it. That will be this Sunday.
It won't even be a fair fight.
I was going to say, you're one woman wrecking crew, okay? They don't know what they're getting into. And I'm so thankful. thankful for your voice, Uju. And for those of you who want to follow Uju, she is on Twitter at Obianaju, which is at OBIANUJU. And I know in the few minutes, in a few seconds we have left, I want you to talk a little bit and give the address for the documentary that you're trying to start about women's voices in Africa dealing with abortion and contraception. How can people support you?
Just go to cultureoflifeafrica.com, and on the sidebar of the page, you just look for where it talks about the crowdfunding for an African documentary on pro-life issues, something like that. Click on it, and I've done a 9-minute video, which is really explanatory with everything about this documentary. Please check it out and just support the project, even if it's by prayer, because this is going to be, hopefully, a game changer.
Thank you so much, Uju, for speaking with us this morning. We love you. We pray for you, and God bless you. Obianaju Ekwuecha, founder and president of Culture of Life Africa.
What a dynamic voice for life, Uju. We appreciate you being with us. 25 after now, and Father tells us more about the Native American saint, St. Kateri Tekakwitha, remembered on this 14th day of July. But first, a little Catholic chatter with Elisa Murphy.
We heard from Allie just moments ago regarding our conversation with Obianaju Ekwuecha, and she says someone needs to remind Melinda Gates that to be pro-artificial contraception is to be pro-cancer. Mm. A very excellent point. We also heard from Sheila, who very much enjoyed our Dominican takeover yesterday, the Dominican Sisters of St. Cecilia that joined from Nashville in studio yesterday, Sister Ann Catherine and Sister Mara Grace. Sheila was raised by Dominican nuns in Iraq. So she was moved by their testimony.
Oh, so if that was a Dominican takeover, I guess, Father, you are a Dominican hangover this week.
That's right.
Sorry to disappoint.
Hold over. I'm sorry. Hold over.
There we go.
It can be like a hangover if you just too much Dominican influence.
No. Yeah. There's never too much Dominican. Let's talk about this Native American saint we celebrate today.
That's right. St. Kateri Tekakwitha, who's named after Dominican. She was named after St. Catherine of Siena. Mm-hmm. That's where she gets the name Kateri. All this talk this morning about, Macron, Melinda Gates. I mean, it's the saints who show us, including St. Kateri Tekakwitha, just again what I was saying about chastity, with the Christian attempts to live, is a temperate life, a chaste life. That's not to run away from passion. It's not to, jump into a passionate life with both feet, just kind of abandon ourselves to passion, but no, to live a life in which passion is indulged and engaged by reason. Mm. And that's what, couples, in their married life are called to do. It's, to take up this great gift of conferring life, with it, all of the joy and pleasure that comes, from that. But again, in a temperate way, in a way that follows God's ordering and plan for our happiness. And the saints just show us that not only is this what God's plan is, but it's also possible, by God's grace. And so I think that's part of the answer that often goes unsaid in all of these discussions.
Mm. St. Kateri, pray for us as Morning Glory continues at 28 after the hour. Coming up, your Friday morning news, also Claire Chrétien of LifeSight. Join us for more of Morning Glory next.
Catholic from the start. Because every new morning is a gift. Morning Glory.
Morning Glory.
Raymond Arroyo.
Part of the success we've had on the world over, I attribute to the audience, my relationship with Mother Angelica, and her teaching me that when you sit with someone, you talk to them, and you create an environment where they will tell you things they wouldn't tell anyone else. That ease, that humor, that warmth, she gave me that, and that's what I try to impart and make a part of every interview we do on the world over.
The world over. Tonight, 10 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Save the date, September 9th and 10th. EWTN's free family celebration event comes to the DCU Center in Worcester, Massachusetts, featuring your favorite EWTN television and radio hosts, our religious catalog shop, Holy Mass, and EWTN Live with Father Mitch Pacwa.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
John chapter 8, verse 51. Jesus is in a discussion with some of the leaders of the Jews. They're talking about Abraham. Abraham lived 1,500 years before the time of Jesus. So in the course of the discussion, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." He says that often in the Gospels. "He who keeps my word or believes in me will never die." To which the Jews say, "Now we know you have a demon." And they say, "Abraham died, as did the prophets. All the patriarchs, the great men and women of the history of Israel. All these people died, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death? Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died? And the prophets who died?" And Jesus says, "Your father Abraham rejoiced that he was to see my day. He saw it and was glad." To which the Jews say, "You are not yet 50 years old, and you've seen Abraham?" And Jesus answers, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am."
This is Bishop John Fulda of the Diocese of Fargo.
This is Raymond Arroyo, host of The World Over.
This is Monsignor Charles Pope, Morning Glory Godly Council. Thanks for listening to EWTN Radio.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
On the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network, live from Capitol Hill, this is Morning Glory.
Catholic from the start, originating from Guadalupe Studios in Washington, D.C., thanks to the Guadalupe Radio Network's affiliate, WMET. This is Morning Glory. Good to have you with us at half past the hour. I'm Brian Patrick with Gloria Purvis.
Good morning.
Our producer is Elisa Murphy, and we turn to our godly counsel, Father Aquinas Gilbo, for a prayer to open the half hour.
Let us pray. O God, who show the light of your truth to those who go astray, so that they may return to the right path, give all who for the faith they profess are counted Christians the grace to reject whatever is contrary to the name of Christ and to strive after all that does it honor. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen. Amen.
And we're just minutes away from your Friday Morning Glory musing.
You know, Father was so deep in what he said about St. Terry Tekakwitha and passion and reason and following God's ordering and plan that I'm going to muse on that.
Yeah, what do you expect from the deep-fried Dominican?
I know, right?
Good. We can talk a whole lot more about her, I'm sure.
Yes.
In the news, a network of pro-life pregnancy centers on the Hawaiian island of Oahu are fighting a state law forcing them to promote abortion. Under this law, pro-life pregnancy care centers are required to post large signs or provide flyers advertising that the state of Hawaii provides free or low-cost access to comprehensive planning services, including abortion and contraception. The centers recently filed a federal lawsuit challenging that state law. Quebec now offering free abortion pills to pregnant women. Women who are up to 7 weeks pregnant can get the pill upon a doctor's consultation, a mandatory ultrasound, and a follow-up appointment. Doctors, however, are not forced to prescribe the drug if they are morally opposed to doing so. An African bishop slams the Canadian government after a minister states Canada must be subtle in pushing abortion in African countries where it is still illegal. International Development Minister Marie-Claude Babeau said in Canada regarding abortion, "If we want to be effective here, we have to be more subtle." Nigerian Bishop Emmanuel Bahedo decries the minister's comments, saying, "Can there be a subtle way of committing a crime? I think not."
Well, this is just, it's a subversion of the country's yes. laws. It was lying to subvert their laws. Mm-hmm. This is incredible. Just shows the wickedness behind all of this.
Mm-hmm. And the parents of 10-month-old Charlie Gard storm out of a British courtroom Thursday. They are fighting to get an experimental treatment in the U.S. for their son, but they have been blocked by the British courts. The judge says he will not continue hearing the case unless the American doctor comes to London to talk to health care experts. We are joined today by LifeSite's Claire Chrétien for more on this ongoing story. Claire, good morning. Good to have you with us on Morning Glory.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Is it true the judge kind of turned around the testimony of the parents?
Well, earlier yesterday in court, Charlie's parents were upset when the judge misrepresented something that they had said. And so they did walk out. And they were upset about it, but the whole case changed later in the day when a doctor in New York testified via video that if he's allowed to treat Charlie, his chances of improvement are anywhere from 10% to 56%. This is huge. The judge asked him if he'd be willing to come to England to examine Charlie, and so it's looking very hopeful now. I think a week ago, everyone was thinking that the hospital would surely prevail and be able to end Charlie's life support, but now it's looking more and more hopeful for his parents being able to continue his course of care.
Claire, Father Aquinas here. I think for us on this side of the pond, I mean, trying to follow this, what has been the British court's interest in insisting that the advice of the doctors be followed over the desires and wishes of the parents? I mean, what's the court's interest here, as far as we can tell?
Well, unfortunately, the English court ruled that in April that he should, quote, die with dignity, mm-hmm. And they say that it's in his best interest to end his life. The hospital has actually admitted that the reason they say this in their arguments in court, they don't want his existence to continue because they think it would be inhuman. But the thing is, Charlie is a great baby, and there's no evidence that he's in pain. And children with his condition, there are so many who have improved and lived to be teenagers who are now totally healthy. Mm-hmm. So his parents just want to give him a chance. But the English and European courts it's really totalitarian what they're doing. They're subverting his parents' rights to continue treating him.
Well, it'd be interesting to see if they refuse to allow the parents to bring the child to the United States, if that doctor would indeed come from the U.S. to Great Britain. That would certainly turn things around there. Claire, we always appreciate LifeSight, and we thank you for joining us this morning. We'll keep you'll keep us posted, I'm sure.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
And Ohio Representative Brad Wenstrup is co-author of a bill in the U.S. House supporting Charlie Gard's cause. He says the legislation was inspired by a personal experience.
23 years ago, my sister at 26 years old, I was 36, she developed leukemia. And the doctors told her that without treatment, she was going to die. And even with treatment, she might. But her best chance is with a bone marrow transplant. When it came time to do a bone marrow transplant, her insurance company said it was experimental and we're not going to allow that. Her doctors didn't advise that. They suggested she do it and go to Seattle to do it, which we did. It's now 23 years later. She is a wife, a mother of two. So to hear that this is experimental and shouldn't be tried really bothered me.
Brad is a strong pro-life voice on Capitol Hill. 56 doctors are among the more than 400 fraud suspects rounded up by the Justice Department this week. Attorney General Jeff Sessions says they're responsible for more than $1 billion in false medical billings.
120 have been charged with opioid-related crimes, making this also the largest opioid-related fraud takedown in American history.
More than 200 health care providers are being suspended or banned from participating in federal health care programs as a result. Nearly a year after his kidnapping, Yemen officials confirm Father Tom Azunalil is alive. Yemen's deputy prime minister says continued efforts are being made to obtain the release of the Salesian priest. He was kidnapped in Yemen in March of last year during an attack on a Missionaries of Charity house that left four sisters dead. Israeli police say three Palestinians opened fire near a Jerusalem holy site, seriously wounding two Israelis before the attackers were shot and killed. Chief Inspector Mickey Rosenfeld says the assailants were heavily armed.
What we know is they were armed with an automatic weapon, with a Carl Gustav weapon, as well as knives, and they also attempted to stab a number of people here at the scene.
The attack happened at the Jewish Temple Mount, also known to Muslims as Noble Sanctuary. In sports, Venus Williams reaches the Wimbledon final for the ninth time. The five-time champion at the All England Club will play Garbine Muguruza for the title on Saturday. Muguruza is thrilled to advance.
It means a lot. It's a Grand Slam. I lost 2 years ago once, so I really look forward this one to try to change that.
The U.S. Open is about a month away. 22 till now, just ahead of Morning Glory and Musings. Here's Elisa, our producer, with your forecast.
Morning Glory weather.
A cooler day in the Northeast for your Friday. Overcast in Boston, reaching 65 today. For those tuned to Station of the Cross this morning, and for those tuned to Red Sea Catholic Radio in College Station, Texas, expect a wet, hot day with temps tipping 94. And here in our nation's capital, in the District of Columbia, Rain expected this afternoon, climbing to a high of 94 for those tuned to the Guadalupe Radio Network.
It's already almost 80 in D.C. Steamy morning. It is now 21 till. Time for Morning Glory and Musings.
You know, as Father Aquinas was talking about passion and reason and following God's ordering and plan, I was just thinking that's exactly what is under attack. And I was thinking also about a book that I'd asked Father about a while ago, and I'm still reading it because it's just so beautiful. It's called The Four Cardinal Virtues by Joseph Pieper. And one of the things that he talks about early on in the book is our understanding of prudence. And basically, prudence is not how we think of it, but in the classical Christian sense, it's the perfected ability to make decisions in accordance with reality. And isn't that the very thing that we see under attack right now in our culture? We will see that the child in the womb, they will say, is not human. That is clearly not in accord with reality. We know the child in the female human body is human, but yet we have the agents and merchants of death saying it's not. Again, that's not in accord with reality. Then you have people saying, oh, you're not male or female, you're whatever you think you are. And we know that that is precisely not in accord with objective physical reality. We can look at our bodies and see whether or not we're male or female. And then, of course, to round out this evil triumvirate, they said that sexual pleasure should be pursued at all costs without any guilt, without any stigma. And it basically, by doing that, they've made pleasure the sole aim of the sexual act and completely throwing aside God's plan of ordering it toward procreation. And so when we have these kinds of attacks upon reality, it made me think, at least in terms of reading Joseph Pieper, that what they're trying to do is handicap us from being able to make moral decisions by completely obfuscating the beautiful and the true, obfuscating reality and having us believe the lies that these things aren't true, that the child in the womb isn't human, that there's no such thing as male or female, and it's pleasure and solely pleasure that should be the aim of any sexual act. And these are the problems that we face in our country, and these are the problems that are being foisted upon the very young who are innocent and don't have the maturity yet to be able to, make these determinations. So it's the cognition of reality, as they would say, is the base of all moral actions. And our culture, our society, evil forces, if you will, are trying to confuse and obfuscate the truth. And I think we have a responsibility to keep raising our voices and speaking the truth, because it's the only way that people will be able to make prudent choices, that is, moral choices that are based in the ability to recognize reality.
Beautifully put.
Glenn. Yeah, sounds Father? Like, I'm listening to the musings of a budding Thomist here.
That's, She's studying it.
Yeah, no. And it is about prudence, Gloria. I think you're right. And this is something that St. Thomas, described very, very well 800 years ago, 700 years ago, that there is a kind of prudence operative, in all of this population control stuff. I mean, there is a certain reason to it. Mm-hmm. But it's a false reason. It's a false prudence based on a lack of recognition, as you say, Gloria, of reality. And St. Thomas, and it's a false view of reality, ginned up by uncontrolled passion. Mm-hmm. It's this pursuit of pleasure, which distorts our view of reality, which then, derails our prudential thinking, that we might still think correctly to certain ends, but they're false, because of our distorted view of the world. So St. Thomas does recognize that there is such a thing as false prudence, and it's sparked by immoderate passion, and again, what's the answer? Well, it's the virtues that govern the passions, courage. And especially temperance, in abstinent sobriety, and chastity. So, we've got a lot of work to do in talking about the virtues. Got a lot of work to do just in ourselves, and we all know these problems very personally. We feel them in ourselves. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of the good news, is that we're not talking about things that we don't experience. We know what this is like. But in grace, in the gospel, in the Christian life, we also know there's solutions to these problems. And that those of us who are caught up in false prudence, can learn the truth, can reconnect with reality, and live in that world, live in the world God has made for us.
It feels like we almost have to detox from the constant lies that you see on television or in some of the secular media. I mean, it's just almost like the just a droning of the continual lies, and we have to resist it and recognize it. That's the big thing. First of all, we hear these things, and some people are blinded and don't even recognize it. And so they're like, okay, taking this in without any kind of, examination. They're not being critical of what they're hearing. And I think that's a lot of the danger as well. You have these sitcoms that normalize what we know are very damaging behaviors, and they never show the side effects.
Right.
Right? They always glamorize it. And
in
that,
yeah, because in 22
thing.
Minutes, they solve the problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that doesn't happen in real life.
Right. Well, it's like cartoons where a guy, you know, he falls off the cliff and he doesn't die. You know, it's just
absurd.
It's fantasy, absurd.
Right. Exactly.
All right. So, something very real are the Doctors of the Church, Father,
yes.
And there's a new documentary on EWTN. We're going to talk about that.
Dr. Italy, Dr. Marcellino D'Ambrosio joins us next. He's teaming up with Matthew Bunsen for a new documentary on EWTN on the Doctors of the Church. Dr. Marcellino is going to join us to talk about that series next here on Morning Glory. Stay tuned.
Every new morning is a gift. This is Morning Glory.
A lot of people listen to Catholic radio and get great information to help build their faith and support their faith. But there are also people out there who haven't yet built a relationship with God, and Catholic radio reaches them wherever they are. It evangelizes in a way like no other medium, and that's just one of the many reasons why Catholic radio is so important.
Jimmy Akin thinks Catholic radio is important. So should you.
Dr. Ray Guarendi.
I was raised in an Italian Catholic home. We went to church. That's what you did. And now that I'm older, I can't thank my parents enough for allowing me to know about our Lord. Because ultimately, the base that they gave me kept pulling me back to the Catholic Church, even though I wandered as a young adult.
The Doctor is In with Ray Guarendi. Weekdays, 1 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
EWTN Religious Catalog is your online destination for Catholic books, DVDs, rosaries, devotionals, and more. And every purchase directly supports EWTN's mission. Ready to shop? Visit EWTNRC.com today.
This is Bishop John Brungardt of the Diocese of Dodge City.
This is Colin Donovan, Vice President for Theology.
This is Father Larry Richards, host of Open Line Thursday. Thanks for listening to EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
We value your opinion. Email morningglory@ewtn.com.
Theologian Colin Donovan answers your calls today on Open Line Friday, starting at 3 o'clock Eastern on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. It's a lot earlier than that now with Morning Glory here on EWTN Radio. I'm Brian Patrick with Morning Gloria Purvis.
Good morning.
Our producer is Elisa Murphy. Our Godly Council Father Aquinas Gilbo. And Father, I find it interesting that EWTN has put together two of the great recent doctors to bring us Doctors of the Church.
That's right. Dr. Matthew Bunsen, of course, of the National Catholic Register, and Dr. Italy, Dr. Marcellino D'Ambrosio, who joins us now in studio to talk about this project. Dr. Italy, welcome to the program.
It is a pleasure to be here, indeed, Father
it's
Aquinas.
Good to have you in studio. Yeah, last time we spoke, I know we were over the phone, but it's great to
live
put
and
a face
in
with
person.
Name. Exactly.
Yeah. Very nice.
So much better.
He looks better on the phone.
No.
Just kidding. Marcellino and I go way back.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
We do.
Back to Texas. Yes.
Oh.
So
nice.
You've got, I know, Dr. D'Ambrosio, lots of irons in the fire, but one of them currently is you are teaming up with Dr. Matthew Bunsen for this new series on the Doctors of the Church. Tell us about it.
Well, it's a wonderful topic. You know, I think one of the problems is people don't know what do you mean by Doctors of the Church?
Right.
And so one thing I want to say is Doctors of the Church is different a bit from Fathers of the Church. I'm kind of well known for knowing about the Fathers. I did a series on EWTN on the Fathers. The Fathers are time sensitive. It's from 100 AD to about 800 AD, and it's an unofficial title. It's the great teachers who help bring Christianity kind of out of its diapers into maturity, you know, during that formative time of the creeds and the canon and things like that. And it's not an official list. But the Doctors of the Church is an official list of the greatest teachers in the history of the church. It's not time sensitive. There are men, there are women. Some of the fathers are also doctors, but then we have women like Teresa of Lisieux, for example, who's a doctor of the church. So doctor of the church really means someone that the Pope declares exemplifies in life and in words, in teaching and in example and witness, holiness and the truth of the Catholic faith.
And so I have to ask this question. Do you have a favorite doctor?
Well, you know, my last name is D'Ambrosio. I'm named after Ambrose, you see. Mm-hmm. So, I kind of claim him. And he's pretty amazing. We just did a show on St. Ambrose yesterday.
Nice.
No, that's great. Tell us a little bit about the series. I mean, are you going to cover all of the 30-something doctors of the church, or are we... You know, just select ones, or
we're not going to leave anyone out, Father Aquinas.
All right,
yeah,
that's great.
And we just did the pilot. We began doing the pilot yesterday, and so there's just a few that we're doing right now. But I think the plan is to do half of them this year, and hopefully the rest next year.
Yeah, well, we look forward to this,
and
encourage all of our listeners to stay tuned to get all programming details. Well, tell us about other things that you've got in the works. Certainly, your pilgrimages that you take. Around the world. Where have you been lately?
Well, the Holy Land is my greatest passion because mm-hmm. when you bring people to the Holy Land, they're encountering the gospel in a new way. Mm-hmm. It's the original Marian pilgrimage site because really we're going to the house of Mary in Nazareth. We're going to where she was born in Jerusalem. So it gets everything together. In the footsteps of Jesus, the apostles, Paul, we're in the footsteps of Paul. And it's a place of encounter, of meeting the Lord in these places and then having images of these places forever in your mind, so you never read the Bible the same way again. Priests and deacons never preach the same way again. So that's kind of my passion, and I go there twice a year. I also go to Italy with groups, but the Holy Land is twice a year for that reason.
So since you go so frequently, do you remember the first time? Does it still have the same impact every time you go?
Well, I would just say it took me about three times just to get the lay of the land down. Mm. So I myself, every time, though, now it's been over 20, every time God does something new for me, and I'm touched and blessed. And it's very powerful as an intercessory prayer. So I'm always bringing intentions over there and praying for breakthroughs in people's lives and my family and others.
Well, I have a six-year-old, and my biggest worry whenever thinking about doing trips like this is, what would she be able to do? What will I be able to do with her if I were to go to the Holy Land?
We would put her on a camel.
Oh, she would love that.
I had a six-year-old who came, and man, all he wanted to do was he wanted to see where Joshua knocked down the walls of Jericho, and he wanted to ride a camel. But
That's right.
He had a great time. Okay. So we really do have a great time with kids.
Okay, good.
So it's not everyone that can get over, to Italy or to the Holy Land. Are there places that you would recommend here in the United States, points of pilgrimage or, that you would encourage people to seek out and if they can to get to?
Absolutely. Right here, the Shrine of the Immaculate Conception. I went down to Our Lady of Guadalupe Shrine in 1984 and mm-hmm. had an amazing experience there. I came back, and the girl I was dating, I decided to propose to. I decided there. I got the courage there.
Yeah.
And so I proposed in the shrine in front of the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe in the little chapel there. So that's a place of pilgrimage for me, and I would encourage other people to come to the shrine.
It's not everyone that finds courage in Washington, D.C. So,
you need it. I went to Mexico to get the courage.
Right. Yes.
I executed it in, in Washington.
I know Brian here has a question for you.
Yeah.
Well, you wrote some articles about, we were talking about the kids earlier, and you've written about keeping our kids Catholic, and that's really timely, especially now as people are going back to school. I think of the young people that are going off to college. Any thoughts you want to share on that?
Well, first of all, you build ships inside of a harbor, but eventually you got to launch them out to the open sea.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So if we're building the right kind of relationship with our kids, and I think relationship is a key word here, our faith is not just a doctrine. Our faith is a living relationship with the Father, with the Son, with the Holy Spirit, with Mary and the saints, with the church. But that has to be cultivated through parents' relationship that's modeled and then communicated with the kids. And that if that happens really well, I think in formative years and in high school, our kids are much more likely to be able to withstand storms. And they'll find storms anywhere, even if we send them to some of the greater Catholic colleges that I highly recommend.
And one other quick question I have for you personally. Yep. Marcellino, how do you and the Scottish Bunsen get along? You know, that Italian fire and the Scottish calm.
You know,
you don't wear a kilt, do you?
I don't wear a kilt. But I will tell you this, complementarity is what it's all about.
And so,
we make a great team.
The odd couple.
I just will say, Matthew definitely does not eat like an Italian. That's all I can tell you from my experience here.
Well, Dr. Marcellino D'Ambrosio, it's great having you in the studio this morning. All blessings on this new series, Doctors of the Church. We look forward to your wrapping it up and our seeing it on EWTN.
Thank you very much, Father Aquinas. Thank you.
Right.
CrossroadsInitiative.com is the site where you can find Dr. Marcellino D'Ambrosio. A quick news update before we go to Catholic Chatter. We now know that two Israeli policemen were killed in that attack near the Jewish Temple Mount, also known to Muslims as Noble Sanctuary. More on that on EWTN News Nightly tonight. Meantime, we're coming up on 5 Till, and Father will take us through today's gospel from the 10th chapter of St. Matthew. But first, Elisa has some Catholic Chatter.
We've heard from Milani this morning, who very much enjoyed having Dr. Italy with us this morning, and she's looking forward to the new program, already asking for a preview clip, so we might have to work on that. We also did hear from Kathy, who very much enjoyed having Obianuju Akoacha on this morning. Just her passion and her joy in the morning really set Kathy on fire. Amen. You can find out more information at cultureoflifeafrica.com.
We are Catholic from the start here on Morning Glory. And Father, in today's gospel, I can imagine the apostles' reaction when Jesus says, I'm sending you like sheep into the midst of wolves.
That's right. But he gives them a little note of hope here. He says, in that moment, don't worry about how you are to speak or what you are to say, for you will be given at that moment what you are to say. And as a teenager, when I heard this, I said, aha, this is it. This is the proof of God's existence. Mm. This is what we're all looking for, that all I have to do now is go get persecuted for the faith. Mm-hmm. You know, and God's going to speak through me, and that's going to prove to me, you know, that he exists. Now, that's some warped thinking there that doesn't really
Thanks
work.
For sharing.
Yeah, it doesn't really work that way, I came to learn. But I think, you know, what does this mean then? I mean, how is it that God gives us in that moment, you know, what we are to say? And it's through the gift of faith. It's not that he zaps us, you know, in a moment of trouble, but that through our friendship with Jesus, through our discipleship, he actually prepares us for these moments when, you know, through the built-up wisdom of prayer and study and conversation with others, you know, he does give us the wisdom to be able to speak in those moments of persecution and trouble. And that's how he fulfills this promise to us.
Father Aquinas Gilbo, we appreciate you and your fellow Dominicans for your great wisdom. Thanks so much for joining
us. Thank
you.
Have a good weekend.
See you next week. Gloria, Monday, we'll be back.
Yep, and we're going to have the Pope, Monsignor Charles Pope, that is in the studio with us on Monday.
And Elisa, what will Sister Stephanie still talk about?
A new National Religious Retirement Office just gave $25 million to support elderly religious.
Wow. That's nice. Monday. In the meantime, let's pray together. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. World without end. Amen.
Have a blessed weekend. We look forward to spending time with you Monday here on EWTN Radio.
Catholic from the start, because every new morning is a gift.